Dr. Fidadi, and thank you for your contributions to the show. Sadly, that is all that we have time for this week. And thank you at home. We will be joined by yourselves and other guests next week for another edition of Eye on Islam. Assalamu alaikum.
IRIB English Radio presents
Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
The presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Assalamu alaikum to the listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is Viewpoints, an analysis on the thoughts and speeches of the leader of Iran, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei. I'm Atta, the host of this program. With me in the studio are two guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Sheikh Sadiq and Brother Ali. Assalamu alaikum to both of you.
Wa alaikum assalam wa
rahmatullah.
Very welcome to the show, Viewpoints. So regarding the speeches of the leader of Iran on the concept of human being, and the we can say the most important speeches that the rahbar gave on the role that the human being might have in today's world, there have been a series of discussions, and we try to get into the different dimensions and angles of the life of the human beings. For today's discussion, we want to talk about human rights and first of all, we have to define the rights. I mean, what are the rights for a human being? Let's start with whom? Sheikh Sadiq or Brother Ali? Sheikh Sadiq, let's start with you. What are these rights that the human is looking for?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I think a more appropriate place to start is the position of human.
Okay.
In both a materialistic or, let's say, Western worldview and a Tawhidi one. In a materialistic worldview, human is the center of the world. And being the center of the world, being the highest creature, means having all the privileges. You can do whatever you want because you're human. You can slaughter animals. You can use and abuse the environment. You can do whatever you want because you're human. You're the god. But in an Islamic worldview, in a Tawhidi worldview, human is still the highest creation, is the best of a creation. But it doesn't mean just having all the privileges. It's having the highest privileges, but also the highest responsibilities.
Sheikh Sadiq, again, this is the question. Okay, respecting for the human beings in general and being after the rights of the oppressed ones, okay? So I think in a previous program you said that 1% are ruling over the world and 99% are looked as the instruments. So it seems the play is very much difficult, brother. So how can this 1% look for the true rights of the human beings in the world except getting to an absolute source of power, which is the absolute power of the creator, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? I think in this play of this world, that 1% might not be successful unless doing that. Is it so?
Yeah. The human rights that is talked about in the West is actually the bare minimum. Mm-hmm. Right? It's just there to avoid the inhumane activities that happen, like the war crimes and stuff like that, like the right to go to trial before being executed. Like that's the level of rights that we're talking about. The right to not be killed.
Yes.
These are the rights that we're talking about.
Okay.
And even this bare minimum is not practiced because of the hypocrisy that you talked about, and it's there. And they're basically giving the illusion of human rights, the illusion of having rights, the illusion of freedom and everything else. to people just to keep them silent.
That's right.
And on the contrary, when you look at, for example, Risalatul Huquq by Imam Sajjad, it's not talking about the bare minimum. Mm-hmm. Like, you have the right of your father. The things that if you talk about in the West, it's like you're doing your father a favor. It's not his right. But in Islam, that's his right. That's your mother's right.
Yes.
And even your body parts, like this is the right of your hand.
Oh,
this is the right of your feet.
Very good.
Even not even animals or environment or objects, even actions have rights. This is the right of your prayer. This is the right of your fast.
That's right.
This is the right of Hajj. This is the right of Zakat. Everything has rights.
Okay.
And like we're talking about a much, much higher standard when we talk about rights.
Yeah, and the look is really beautiful, you know, just dating back into more than 1,000 years ago, but it still could be available. And I think that we, I don't know, I don't want to judge again the Western system, but...
Oh, please do.
because
be my guest,
you know. But the case is that these rights that we are talking about nowadays, I think, is very much simplistic and
Hippocratic.
Yeah, yeah,
right?
Hippocratic,
because
that's right.
They've been doing like slavery.
Yeah,
until
so many years.
Yeah, until very recently.
Yeah, 1950.
Or
yeah.
Women's rights, whatever you look at.
Yeah,
they've been violating all these rights.
Yes.
They've been doing all these crimes.
Yes.
And now they're criticizing other parts of the world.
Still doing.
And they're trying to overcompensate for everything.
Overcompensating, that's right.
Right?
Yeah.
So we see this hypocrisy everywhere. And they don't even catch up to their claims.
That's all right. How is observing human rights possible? From one side, you're selling weapons to the Saudis to kill Yemenis. And from the other side, you are looking for a peace treaty between the two. How is it possible?
Yeah, I told you.
I mean, just look. From one side, the weapons industry, the military industry, is very much, financially speaking, boosting all around the world, okay?
That's because the power of media, isn't it?
No, this is the real power, brother.
No, because, you have a huge list of violations.
Yes.
Like, where do I start?
Yeah, man.
Which part of it, like, just let's spin the globe and just pin somewhere and see your violations over there. Just pick somewhere randomly. And you have all these violations, and through your media, you portray yourself as a hero.
Yeah.
And then we have all these amazing realities here.
But again, out of the power of media, they hide these realities.
Exactly.
You see?
And portray the opposite.
Yeah. If you want to study, for example, about human rights in Islam, then when you check, I don't know, when you Google it, what will come up first?
Yeah.
The thing that they have fed, you see? Nothing about the... that's why the leader of the Islamic Ummah, in a letter to the youth of Europe...
But that's something we lack too, right?
Yeah. Ask them to...
Shout out here to anyone who is working on media.
Yeah.
Like, we need to work on it more.
Very
we
true.
Need to, like,
yeah, we have
this
to work
very,
on it. Yes,
very
we
seriously.
Have to our own planning, you know. Our own models, you know,
when
we
have
to introduce.
Tell them that refer to the Islamic
original
sources original
right.
of the
original,
Islam
yes.
to tell you what their human right is, then come and condemn us.
That's
but
right.
they don't let them to know what Islam says. For example, they introduced Saudi Arabia as a role model for the human rights.
Yes.
When no human right can be actually seen and interpreted there.
Yeah.
You see, this is again the power of media. To show themselves good, to hide the realities and beauties of Islam in the human rights and in the definition of human rights, this is a power of media. I call it media empire.
Mediocrity we have nowadays.
Yeah. So you see, the Sheikh was actually pinpointed the right point, which is the power of media, which actually deviates everything and
yes.
does not let... or do not let the people to reach and to find the realities of Islam. Thank you, Sheikh. Sorry for interruption.
Yeah, when I look at the situation with their media against ours, I remember the lecture of Imam Ali in the Battle of Siffin. He says to his soldiers that soldiers of Muawiyah are amazing at their battle.
At the kuf.
Yeah, their
yes.
kuf.
Yes.
And you are so weak at your haqq.
Yeah, man. Mm-hmm.
I want to take one of them and give 10 of you.
Oh,
right. So this is the same with our media.
They are
presenting their bottle so good, and we have all these amazing things. We have haqiqa here, and we cannot present it. We don't have the power to present it. It's a very sad reality.
That's all right. And I think the absolute haqiqa is the hands of the imam of the age, the hujjah, you know.
Mm.
I think if the type of the haqiqa, the truth, he is going to show it to us, might crystallize our eyes to the very reality of the world, even for ourselves.
But bro, because it was at the hand of Imam Hussein as well. But
yeah,
then,
I know.
And if again, through the power of media, Imam Hussein is not looked at as the way that I deserve to be seen.
Yes.
So again, the Imam will be sacrificed again.
That's right.
You see, we have to prepare ourselves. I mean, we have to, again, through the power of media, we have to strengthen the media that we need to have. Because I believe, I have seen a hadith, a narration that said, the connotation of the hadith says that Imam will not emerge until your media is as strong as it is needed.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah. Media means that media, your word has been reached to the world to the extent it was supposed to be.
The medium, that's right.
So it is very interesting that even media is something that actually paves the way for the emergence of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam.
That's right. Of course, this media tech does not mean the technical media now, there's radio and TV, but the medium, you mean
this
the
is
mean.
The instrument for reaching
Arba'een,
right?
Yeah, a lot of people talk about how Arba'een is introducing Imam Hussein.
Arba'een walking,
and when the Imam of our time reappears,
he
introduces himself
as
the grandson of Imam Hussein, because everyone in the world knows Imam Hussein. No one knows Imam Sadiq, for example, in America.
Yes.
But they've all heard of Imam Hussein alayhi salam through Arba'een pilgrimage.
That's all right. I hope that one day the rights of the human beings are observed in the true sense of the word, as regarding the true position of the human being and the world, the best creature of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. First, we have to understand this. Give importance to the intellect of the human beings, and also the intellect that is under the shadow of divinity. You know, this is very important. Man-centrism and self-centrism must be forgotten, you know, if you want to have human rights observed in the true sense of the world. Because anything you do will be according to your own personal decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And according to the personal decisions, one day might be right, the other today might be wrong. So nowadays, see how many movements do we have in the world? Mm-hmm. Colored people, you know, different languages, minorities,
nationalities,
races, you know,
geography.
Look at the women and the men, you know, are looking in some of the societies after the rights. And so today in the legal system, this law is issued and that law is issued, this law is rebutted and that law is denied, okay? So how many times and how many ways, you know, up to the end of the world, you're going to do reformation on the law system and you are getting nowhere, because the position of the human in this chart might be understood in a wrong way. So we have to get into the true definition of the human being, I think, and understand its true rights. Then I think the problems are solved. Thank you very much, Sheikh Sadiq and Brother Ali, for your presence in the program.
Pleasure.
Viewpoints.
Thanks to you, brother.
Beautiful discussion on the concept of human rights as tackled by the leader of Iran, by the leader of the Islamic Ummah, Sayyid Ali Khamenei. It was very kind of you. And dear listeners, thank you very much for listening to us. Visit our website at parstoday.com/EN. You can download for free our previous episodes on this program too. Also visit our YouTube channel and Instagram page, Call of Islam Radio. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
The same when I'm too concerned by what they say. Why should I wanna have you? To doubt you would be the worst mistake. Deep deep inside I know that amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. You are the light that guides me through my darkest nights, shows me right from wrong in a world that often lies. Cause I don't need anyone, anything in life but you. No, I don't need anyone to show me my way. No, I don't need anyone but you.
Imam Ali, peace be upon him, said, "The Lord Most High has chosen for us certain followers, Shiites, who assist us. If we are joyful, they are joyful. And if we are sorrowful and sad, they are sorrowful and sad."
In the limelight.
Since the start of war on Gaza, the Zionist regime has expropriated 27 square kilometers of Palestinian land and accelerated settlement building. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. Middle East Eye wrote, Palestinians this year marked the 48th anniversary of Land Day amid the brutal Israeli regime war on Gaza. Near daily raids in the occupied West Bank and an increase in land confiscation and settlement building. On March 30, 1976, six Palestinians were martyred by Israeli regime forces as thousands of Palestinians in Israel's northern Galilee region rose up in protest against the Israeli expropriation and occupation of Palestinian lands. The event became known as Land Day and a symbol of national struggle that unites Palestinians around the world. Recently, under the banner of Stop the War on Gaza, thousands of Palestinians marched through the Palestinian town of Deir Hana, one of the towns in the occupied territories called Israel, where the most violent crackdown on protesters took place that day in 1976. Land Day is also seen as significant because it is deemed to mark the first time that Palestinian citizens of Israel organized collectively against the Zionist regime policies. Thank you. Palestinian citizens of Israel make up around 17.5% of the population and are descended from Palestinians who were not expelled by Zionist militias during the creation of the fabricated regime of Israel in 1948. Palestinian protesters recently also marched through the city of Sakhnin in northern Israel, where three of the six Palestinians were buried almost five decades ago, Arab 48 reported. They then visited the family homes of Raja Abu Raya, Khadar Khalaya and Khadija Sawana and laid wreaths on a monument honoring all six martyrs. The other three Palestinians martyred that day were Khair Yasin, Mohsen Taha and Rafat Zohairi. The most important thing that the martyrs gave on Land Day in 1976 was the belief in the rights to our land, Ahmad Khalaya's brother said in a speech at the cemetery. From Sakhin, the protesters marched to the cemetery in the neighboring city of Araba to pay tributes to Yasin. Palestinians also paid homage to Zohairi and Taha in their respective hometowns of Taibe and Kafar Qana. A relative of the martyr Khadija Sawana, Wafa, said in her speech, Land Day is a turning point in the history of our people. It is a departure from the machine of oppression, emergency laws, and military rule without fear. And today, after all these years, we are still suffering from emergency laws and military rule. Since that day in 1976, Palestinians have engaged in widespread activities to commemorate Land Day and demand an end to the Zionist regime racial discrimination, in particular land and housing policies that have turned their towns into closed ghettos. Demonstrations in cities around the world were also organized recently, including in London, New York, Madrid, Rabat, and Beirut. As Palestinians prepare to commemorate the Land Day, Israeli regime forces carried out several overnight raids across the West Bank, killing a 13-year-old boy, Nabil Abu Abed, in the town of Qabatia, south of Jenin. In Ariha, the Zionist regime forces stormed the city in the morning, raiding several homes and interrogating residents. They also tightened military measures at the checkpoints set up at its entrances for the third consecutive day, denying movement of Palestinian vehicles into and out of the city. Meanwhile, in a report released recently, the Colonization and Wall Resistance Commission, CWRC, said the Zionist regime has seized 27,000 dönems, 27 square kilometers of Palestinian land in the West Bank since the start of the war on Gaza. The CWRC, a governmental commission affiliated with the Palestine Liberation Organization, said that 1,895 settlement units have also since been approved by the Zionist regime, displacing 25 Bedouin communities from the Palestinian territory. The report added that some 840 checkpoints and gates have been set up in the West Bank. The Zionist regime military has carried out 9,700 attacks against Palestinian residents and their properties and have destroyed and uprooted 9,600 trees, mostly olive trees, the report said.
Ramadan in the UK.
Part 2.
Islam is probably the most demonized religion in Britain, and Muslims are regularly the subject of negative media headlines, usually associated with extremism and terrorism. Faced by this onslaught, it can be difficult for Muslims to get their side of the story across, but that doesn't mean they're not trying.
Ramadan is perhaps the best time of year for Muslims to showcase their religion, and that's exactly what several initiatives across the UK have done, such as the Ramadan Tent here in central London, which welcomes up to 300 Muslims and non-Muslims every night to break the fast. And the idea behind these initiatives is very simple, that intimate human contact can break down barriers like nothing else.
The Ramadan Tent Project is run by student volunteers and adopts a gentle, non-confrontational, even subliminal approach when showing non-Muslims what Islam is. It seeks to demonstrate the values of Islam by setting an example instead of preaching, to build bridges between cultures and encourage interfaith dialogue through the simple act of sharing a meal.
We've been able to foster a platform for interfaith dialogue to explain, you know, the actual beautiful values of our religion, you know, and feel the community spirit most of all. I think, you know, when you look and you see, you know, just people of all different colours and races sitting on the floor eating together, I think, you know, I think that's what it's about.
I grew up religious, so when I came across what was going on, I was really intrigued with the idea of fasting and praying, and so I wanted to learn more. And just the experience of meeting some of the best people I've ever met who have such sincere intentions, it made me want to get involved and learn more about what they were doing here and what Ramadan means.
Every night during the month of Ramadan, a different speaker gives a short talk here to everyone gathered. Then, after the Maghrib or sunset prayer, the fast is broken with rice, meat, fruit, desserts, and tea. Sometimes Islam won't crop up in conversation at all, but friendships are built, curiosity is aroused, and perhaps stereotypes would have been broken.
I think that I kind of really identified with the Muslim community by their standards, not drinking alcohol and fasting and things like that. So I didn't have any negative perceptions, but I think that being involved in the community helped me to understand the Muslim community even more and to be able to share that with my community back in the States.
Stephen Mills and Steve Smith are getting a sneak preview of the feast that awaits them in a few hours' time. These two non-Muslim teachers from Oldham in the north of England have been fasting all day as part of an initiative called Share Ramadan, the brainchild of Manu Mia, another teacher. It's around 5:30 p.m.
Working in such a high Muslim school, I thought it'd be a brilliant experience for me to see what not only the colleagues that I have, but the kids that I teach go through. I just thought it'd give me a bit of an insight into what they go through and understanding.
How's it been for you so far? So you didn't get up for breakfast, first mistake, right?
No, yeah. I ate at about 11:30 last night. No, I didn't wake up. I'm not feeling too bad, actually. I thought hunger would be the big thing because I've got a healthy appetite, I want to say. But it's been the thirst that's really, really challenged me.
Did you know much about Ramadan? Why Muslims fast?
This is my second year doing it, and I'd say the first reason I did it was because, coming from my background, I had very little idea about Muslim religion, about Ramadan, the importance of it, why do it. So the first thing was I wanted to get to know more about it. That was my first reason for even doing it.
And how are you finding it?
Not too bad. Hunger has been okay. Lunchtime, walking around seeing some people eat, that was a bit difficult. Kind of had to turn away from that. Thirst is the main one. After about 10 or 11, it started to kind of kick in. Love a glass of water. And you kind of sometimes go to reach for it. And it's, oh, no, can't.
Challenge, invite, share. Share Ramadan.
Share Ramadan has become something of a social media phenomenon. Challenge a non-Muslim neighbor or colleague to fast for a day, break the fast with them, and share the moment and experience on social media. It's got non-Muslims all across Britain experiencing the Ramadan fast.
First day, I'm always told, is the hardest of the fast anyway. I was approached by one of my colleagues, Nano Mir, to take part in the challenge.
It's a great way to get to know people, of course.
Share Ramadan started when the Muslim community were getting a lot of bad press. One thing I realised, you know, the media isn't on our side and saying so much things, and certain headlines are putting the lives of many innocent people at risk. So what can we do? You know, you have children, and would you want to leave them behind? Wealth or money? You know, why not? You know, that is fair and that is safe. And that will only come about is when there is an understanding, and the barriers of fear and suspicion, when they have disappeared from our society.
It is that, for me, it's been that sacrificing things that you take for granted every day. Like, you know, people struggle for water, and I can just go and get one anytime, a glass of water or a drink of water anytime I want. People struggle for food, but you know, at the end of this, I know I'm going to sit down with 10 or 12 friends and have a lovely meal.
Before I started working in the job I'm in now, all I knew about the Muslim faith was what I read, typically on media, newspapers, whatever it be. Then I've actually become friends with them, and I'd like to think with Nana, who's invited me into his house to do Shah Ramadan, not only have I found out about the Muslim culture, but I've become closer with him, with other friends, so we can talk about anything. Doesn't have to be about Muslim, but it just means that there's not that kind of them and us type culture.
A few hours later, and at last, it's nearly time to break the fast. Nanu lays on a delicious Bangladeshi meal in his front room, enough to satisfy any appetite, while around a dozen Muslim and non-Muslim colleagues and friends laugh and joke. Finally, it's time to tuck into the food. Stephen and Steve are obviously very relieved men.
It's the last Friday of Ramadan, and thousands of Muslims are preparing to march through the streets of central London, condemning Zionism and supporting the Palestinian resistance struggle, as they do every year during the annual Al-Quds March. Now, Ramadan is obviously mostly associated with spirituality and quiet reflection, but it's also a time when Muslims increase their efforts to promote justice in the public arena.
This Jerusalem Day march took place a year after Israel's war on Gaza, which killed over 2,000 Palestinians and devastated the infrastructure of the besieged territory. The Palestinian struggle against Israeli occupation and aggression has always been at the center of Islamic politics and has unified Muslims from different nations and traditions since Israel was created. The march climaxed outside the US Embassy in London, where, again, the centrality of the Palestinian cause for Muslims around the world was emphasized.
And today the people of Muslim countries around the world stand shoulder to shoulder with moral-seeking people in the support of the Palestinian nation and gather in the streets to remind the world of the barbaric crimes and atrocities of the occupying Zionist regime.
Zionist is a criminal conspiracy, a colonizing project which will only be complete with the disappearance of the Palestinian people.
This year's Ramadan also saw the high-profile launch of an attempt by a Sufi Muslim group to counter the Takfiri ISIL narrative, which has attracted a tiny minority of British Muslims. Pakistani scholar Taher al-Qadri unveiled a draft school curriculum in London which condemned ISIL and extremist ideology. Qadri, who has previously declared Takfiri's non-Muslim, said it was essential to teach people that terror was a violation of Islam.
whatever philosophy and ideology is being propagated and practiced and enforced by ISIS or other terrorist organization, in part it was Al-Qaeda and Taliban and all those people, this is just an enmity and violation of Islam and Quran and the Prophet's conduct.
The initiative wasn't without its critics within the Muslim community itself, who said that it placed the emphasis on the Muslim community to clean up its act, while downplaying major factors behind radicalization, such as British foreign policy, Islamophobia, and racism. Nevertheless, there is general consensus amongst British Muslim leaders that the ISIL mentality and the Takfiri narrative needs to be driven out of the community.
Ramadan being a very difficult and challenging time for Muslims. We've had killings in Kuwait, we had murder taking place in Tunisia and other parts of the globe. So that kind of really affects the Muslims living in this country, in Leeds, because our name has been tarnished, our faith's been abused. Those who commit murder in the name of God, they are absolutely an affront to human dignity and an insult to God.
As the holy month of Ramadan draws to a close, British Muslims will really look forward to the festival of Eid. Now, Eid lasts about 1 or 2 days and is characterized by lots of socializing, delicious food, and fun activities for the children. It's a joyful occasion which marks the end of a month of really hard self-sacrifice. And British Muslims will hope that they can carry forward the lessons they've learned during the month of Ramadan and implement them during the course of the rest of the year.
This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, dear brothers and sisters, Salamun Alaikum. Welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Tonight is the night of honor, dignity, destiny. Tonight is Laylatul Qadr.
Ya Laylatul Qadr, ya Qawwa Barina, khayrun min ad-dahr.
يا ليلة القدر يا فضل بارنا خير من الدهر بالعفو تاتنا.
On 22nd of Ramadan, 1445 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri Calendar, corresponding to the 14th of Farvardin, 1403 of the Islamic Solar Hijri Calendar, and the 2nd of April, 2024 of the Christian Gregorian Calendar, you are listening to us. These days and nights are so precious. Tonight is the night of Qadr, so we ask you to pray for us too, and as usual, we start with the Holy Quran. For this episode, we choose chapter Al-Qadr,
We listen to it and then we come back to speak about this chapter.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr.
Indeed, we sent the Quran down during the night of decree.
وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرُ.
And what can make you know what is the night of decree?
لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ خَيْرٌ مِّنْ أَلْفِ شَهْرٍ.
The night of decree is better than 1,000 months.
تنزل الملائكة والروح فيها بإذن ربهم من كل أمر.
The angels and the spirit descend therein by permission of their Lord for every matter.
سلام هي حتى مطلع الفجر.
Peace it is until the emergence of dawn.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
ما لنا رب سوى.
Why was the Quran descended on the night of honor? Laylatul Qadr. Since on the night of honor the destiny of 1 year of ours is determined based on our worthiness, we should keep vigil to whole night and repent of our sins, practice self-perfection and refer to Allah to gain more and better worthiness for His mercy. Yes, we should be aware of the moments that our fate forms and not spend the time in negligence and sleeping. Otherwise, our destiny will be regretful. As the Quran is the book of destiny and leads to the path of happiness and guidance, for men it should be sent down on the night of honor, the night of determining fate. What a nice connection there is between the Quran and the night of honor, and how meaningful their relation with each other is.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Dear brothers and sisters, today we are going to talk about the most important acts on the 23rd night of the holy month of Ramadan. Performing ghusl, ritual purification, and 2 rak'ahs of prayer, in each rak'ah reciting Surah Al-Fatiha once and Surah Al-Ikhlas 7 times, followed by saying Astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayh 70 times as recommended on this night. Regarding the philosophy of Laylatul Qadr means to appreciate every moment of this night, a night when all angels by the command of the Lord come to serve Imam Zaman, Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, and with his presence they review the record of deeds of creation. So Laylatul Qadr is not limited to reciting supplications and the Quran. We need to focus on our actions and deeds that we have performed already in the year, and the actions and deeds that we are going to do in the upcoming year. We need to ask for forgiveness, and we need to do repentance on this important night, and which is among the most important actions that one can do. But we should again regard all of our nights as Laylatul Qadr, so we can stand proudly before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Narrations state that in the end times, conditions will become so difficult that faithful people will leave their homes as believers and return at night as disbelievers. This means that faith will be so shaky and weak. So we need to control and we need to look at every night that we have as Laylatul Qadr.
Ya Rabbu Ya Rahman Ya Khaliq Al-Akwan Ya Rabbu Ya Rahman Ya Khaliq Al-Akwan زدنا من الإيمان في ليلة القدر
في ليلة القدر يا فضل بارنا خير من الدهر بالعفو تاتنا
يا ليلة القدر يا فضل بارنا يا ليلة القدر.
The benefits and rewards of the night of power. What to do in the night of Qadr? That's a big question. We can donate to charity. The act of giving is an act that is greatly rewarded by Allah and is encouraged during the holy month of Ramadan. If the rewards and blessings of giving in this month are so great, can you imagine what the rewards for giving on the night of Laylatul Qadr will be like? Whether you choose to help someone by donating your time or contributing money, giving towards Sadaqah Jariyah on behalf of the deceased loved one, or donating your zakat, ensure you give as much as possible on this reward night. Even the smallest act of giving someone a glass of water or smiling at another being is a great act of charity in Islam. Send your Ramadan donations with Muslim Aid this year and ensure your generosity goes towards those who need it the most. Please keep us in your prayers.
ومضات خير للعباد ومضات نور للفؤاد ومضات خير للعباد ومضات نور للفؤاد
تدعو إلى الدين القوي من الرشاد
يا إخوتي هيا بنا نسلك طريق الراشدين يا إخوتي هيا بنا نسلك طريق الذاكرين.
A time for self-reflection. Yes, Ramadan is the time for reflection, for self-reflection, and especially the Laylatul Qadr. This night can be taken as an opportunity to plan for the upcoming year, contemplating both your short and long-term ambitions. Vow to worship more frequently and have good intentions to attain rewards from Allah. Remember, it's vital that you make the most of blessings on this notable night. Consequently, you should limit your engagement in trivial acts and instead pray and reap rewards. We thank Allah for the beauty of this holy night whilst praying that He accepts our good deeds on this world and hereafter. On this beautiful night of Laylatul Qadr, we thank Allah for bestowing upon the privilege of this holy night and we pray that the Lord accepts all of our good deeds and acts.
We must genuinely consider our actions on Laylatul Qadr. We recite Da'a Jush al-Kabir on Laylatul Qadr, but we are not aware that these 1001 names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be manifested in us as Allah's vicegerent. We should be the perfect reflection of Allah on earth. Again, among the actions and important actions that we need to do in these nights is to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take away our sins. We need to be aware that in supplications we should not always ask Allah to give us something but sometimes ask Him to take away our sins, that is to take away something again for us, like sins, and give us virtues in return, or take away our bad moral traits. So we usually say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give us this, give us that, give us give us this and give us that. Sometimes we need to tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, take this and take that, take away this and take away that. And again, among the most important acts in this night, is praying for Imam Zaman alayhi salam, which is one of the most important acts on the 23rd night. Praying for the appearance and well-being of Imam Zaman alayhi salam on the third, on the night of Qadr is highly emphasized, especially on the 23rd night of Qadr, which holds a special status. On this night, we should ask Allah to hasten the appearance of this great Imam, so that the earth may be cleansed of the problems and troubles of the people. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, regarding the virtues of Surah Al-Qadr on the 23rd night of the blessed month of Ramadan, said, if someone recites Inna anzalnahu fi laylat al-qadr 1,000 times on the 23rd night of Ramadan, his certainty will be confirmed by what is especially ours, and this is only because of what he sees in his sleep. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, in another hadith, says, whoever recites two surahs, Al-Ankabut and Ar-Rum, on the 23rd night of Ramadan, by Allah, he is one of the people of paradise. And I do not make any exception in this statement, nor am I afraid that Allah will write a sin on me for this oath. These two surahs have a higher status with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thank you very much, dear brothers and sisters, for staying tuned and listening to us. I hope you join us again in our upcoming session. Till then, I leave in Allah's protection. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Dear brothers and sisters, thank you very much for listening to this episode of today's special. Please keep us in your prayers and du'as during Laylatul Qadr. Thank you. La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi, Aliyun Imami, Lafata illa Aliyun Imami. علي إمامي علي إمامي لا إله إلا الله الله ربي محمد نبي علي إمامي لا فتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي
Sajjad, peace be upon him, has said, whenever I remember the martyrdom of the children of Fatima, peace be upon her, my eyes filled with tears.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Seven foreign aid workers are killed in an Israeli airstrike in Gaza as the death toll from the regime's genocide nears 32,850. Iran's President Ebrahim Raisi says the Israeli attack on the country's consulate in Syria will not go unanswered.